Blog Talk Radio.
God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it is good to be here one more time. Thank God. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So you're in tune with Truth Ministry, and I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory with Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So again, we say welcome, and we thank God for you tuning in, and even those who are listening on the replay, thank God for you. So we thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Twitter followers, all of our Facebook friends, and all of our Blog Talk friends. It's just so good to be here one more time to look into the perfect law of liberty. So we don't want to forget what manner of person that we was, like James said, but we want to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving our own selves. So it's so good to be here one more time in our series of Only Believe. And so we're in part 11 on today in this session of Only Believe. We've been going through the book of St. John. So we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so this is St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, and it's not just, he's letting them know and encouraging them of who they are, their position in Christ, but letting you know that He is above all, through all, and in you all. So He is the everywhere, here, now, there God. So he fills all space. And just like he said, what kind of house you going to build for me? You know, heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. So He is, the writer Isaiah says, he inhabits eternity and His name is holy. So that's why I use the title, subtitle, or every day that I do the show, and that is the Godhead, because there's only one person in the Godhead. There is only one God. So like Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said, though there be gods many with the little g, but to us there is only one God and Lord Jesus Christ. So he can be whatever he wants to be and never cease to be who he is. Like I've said on occasion, sometimes in the Old Testament, he was the angel of the Lord. We know he was a cloud by day to the children of Israel, and he also was a pillar of fire by night. So he's a sun. He's a shield. So he is our high tower. He's a rock. He is our light. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So he is the self-existing one. He is eternal, and Moses wrote, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath his wings is everlasting strength." And Job said that, talking about God, said he stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and he hangeth the earth upon nothing. And he also said, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out." So we got to understand, who are we talking about? The eternal God, which we can't even go back. We can only think of in the beginning. We can't even comprehend him being eternal. He didn't make himself, but he always was. And he created time because he's in eternity. He created time. So to give us space and to fulfill his plan with the earth to bring us back into eternity with him. That is the church of the living God, and also the Israel, the chosen ones that he came to, the people that he chose in the earth to be his people. At that time, they're going to be in the new earth throughout eternity. And David, who is the King David, he's going to raise Israel up, and David is going to be their king or their prince, whatever terminology we want to use. So what a wonder about God. And so that's why that we're trying to endeavor to tell, get people to believe the gospel, the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So this is what it's all about. And so he ascended up on high. He led captivity captive. He made the atonement. He put himself on the altar once and in the end of the world. A Hebrew writer says he appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he was the Lamb. That's why John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Not only did he do that, but he was in the earth walking after his passion, after his resurrection, 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Told the disciples to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high, and which is the 50th day after the Passover, is called Pentecost. So everything, God is on time God. So everything happens just like he said. It's going to happen, and it's going to continue to happen because he is God and he can't lie. Hebrew writer says it was impossible for God to lie. So he can't lie. He's still the same. So that's why the Hebrew writer says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So God can be whatever he chooses to be and never cease to be who he is, because he is God. So we welcome you again today to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio, wherever our voices are being heard. And we also ask you, as we have been, and as paramount, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So many are professing to be prophets and prophetess and preachers and whatever title that they called themselves ministers and elders and bishops. But the question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So you got to be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, Romans 14 and 17, but it says, but it's righteousness and peace, and righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God is the invisible kingdom, but the kingdom of God, you can know when you're born again. And that's why he says, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And he goes on to say, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled the house all where they were sitting. There appeared upon them clothing, or the word clothing means divided, clothing tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that's the evidence. And like I've said before, to give understanding of the first birth, everything goes right. And the last thing, the mystery of the first birth when a baby is born, is the doctor want to hear the baby cry. After they deliver the baby, cut the umbilical cord, they want to hear the baby cry. So this is what Paul says in the book of Romans. It says, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Somebody said it means daddy. So you're going to, it ain't no just a quiet being born again. No, there's evidence. And then after that, there is also fruit. So one of the great mistakes that Christendom is doing, and that is they are picking up the Bible and reading it, which the Bible, the letters, the Pauline epistles were written to people who are already saved. It is what we call the children's bread. So the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you got to be born again. That's why you're not born again. You can't see it. You can't understand it. You can't perceive it. So you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. And so that's why it was so clear when he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that includes the Gentiles, other people, other nations, everyone. And that's why when they confronted Peter in the 11th chapter of Acts, after he had went down to Cornelius' house and preached to the Gentiles, opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles, and he let them know, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So that's why he was saying, what was I that I could withstand God? So God is no respecter of persons, what Peter said. But if you fear him, you work righteousness, that's acceptable. So he said, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. So the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles as it did on the Jews at the beginning. So he came to save souls. So that's, people are so caught up, but we are his own people, the Israelites, did not believe in him. His own brethren, when he was in the earth, did not believe in him. So that's why that brings us right to what we're talking about. As we're going through the book of John, St. John, only believe. Because the worst sin is unbelief. And that's why the Hebrew writer says, so we see, he's talking about Israel, they could not enter in because of unbelief. So should you desire to call in on the day, our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. You can call in should you have a question or should you have a comment. You are welcome to call in today on Truth Ministry. We welcome your call on today. So we thank God that we are here. So just to bring you back up, so today we want to talk about the betrayal and arrest of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we finished up on last week. We were actually, we started off because we were talking about the Comforter and him sending the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. And he was saying, you know, about how he was saying it was this expedient that he go away. And if he didn't go away, the Comforter wouldn't come. And how he was letting them know he chose them, and about the world, how they hated him. If you were of the world will love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you, the world hated you. And so continuing on, he's talking about the Spirit of Truth and where we began on last week. A little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. So they didn't understand. He was coming in another form. He's letting them know the world's going to they were going to weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. So in other words, the Roman soldiers, they killed him. And that's why Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he was saying about wisdom and the princes of this world. He said they didn't know nothing about that. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, none of the princes of this world knew. And he goes on to say, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the world was rejoicing, and they were sad. So he was saying, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And he went on, he gave the analogy of a woman when she's in travail, have sorrow, because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And now you, therefore, you have sorrow, he's letting them know. But I will see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. He's talking about the joy of the Lord. He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the new wine that they tried to mock when they were speaking on the day of Pentecost. And they said, these men are, what meaneth this? They, you know, these men are full of new wine. They were mocking. Peter said, these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But he said, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So that's what he was saying. So in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. The time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. That day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father, for the Father himself loveth you, because I have loved, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. And so they go on here. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. This is a statement. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things. So remember I was saying that God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere and every place. He's not omnipotent, which means he has all power. They knew. You know all things. So Jesus said unto them, do you not believe? So remember, this is what we're talking about. Only believe. So behold the hour cometh. Yea, is now. come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That's even talking to us now. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we went through, on last week we explained the difference in the, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. So actually, in reality, the whole 17th chapter of St. John is the Lord's Prayer. Now what we say, we call, "O our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That is the motto prayer, because he says, when ye pray, he didn't say repeat after me. He said, pray after this manner. So this, in reality, the true Lord's Prayer is the 17th chapter of St. John. The prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the priestly prayer. So this is what this whole chapter is the Lord's Prayer. So in the 20th verse of chapter 17 of St. John, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So what is he saying? I'm not just praying for the apostles, but I'm praying for those who shall believe on me through their word. So not only that, they preach their preach word. They wrote the New Testament scriptures because they were eyewitnesses. He chose them. He personally taught them. They were eyewitnesses, and they wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths, everyone except for this man here that we're talking about in St. John, the Apostle John, or St. John. He didn't die a horrible death like the other apostles, but he lived long. He had to be a witness. He was in the isle called Patmos for the testimony of God. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So he had to see the ending. Things which are, which shall be here and after, the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. So he was the one that saw the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he wrote the first three books to the seven churches. And in reality, dealing also today with the church ages, what once God said he loved because he didn't deny his name, then particularly the age that we are in now, the age of Laodicea, which is lukewarm. So he was saying, I would that you were cold or hot, but since you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. So, and he went on at the end, just before the end of the third chapter of the book of the Revelation, he was saying, I'm standing at the door knocking. If any man hear my voice and open to me, I'll come in with him and sup with him and he with me. So everything that people have done, in spite of all the things that people do, he is willing to receive you. Even if you have turned your back on him, you walk with him, he will receive you back. That's why, so Hebrew writer says, seeing that we have a great high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What he was saying was, the one we have, he could be touched. That's why he was saying, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, the Hebrew writer was saying that him being tempted, talking about, that's what the whole book of Hebrews is talking about, a better covenant. So him being tempted, talking about the Son of God. He was the great high priest in that human body. So he, and once in the end of the world, he appeared in the presence of God. to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He prepared himself a body. Hebrews the 10th chapter. Psalms the 40th chapter. Sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. They took away the first that he may establish the second. So in other words, just like he said, come unto me, in Matthew 11 and 28, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the 28, 29, and 30, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. And he goes on to say, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So it doesn't matter. You're in tears. You're all broke up. You don't know what to say. Don't find a reason why not to come to him, but he knows all about it. So you come to him. He knows what we are, what we can't even say. If you just can't say nothing, just groaning in yourself, he knows all about it. He was a man of sorrow, and he was acquainted with grief. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So he knows all about it. So this priestly prayer, he prayed here. And so he goes on, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So we got to understand the oneness of God. So in other words, in God's mind, when he declares something, it's going to come to pass. So that's why John wrote, it takes the Holy Ghost to understand the oneness of God. Ain't no third person of no Trinity. Because in the first place, there is no such thing as a Trinity. That is a lie. Just like I said before, it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal the oneness of God. It takes the Holy Ghost to reveal that there's only one person in the Godhead. It takes the Holy Ghost to reveal who the Messiah is. So he came into the world that he made. So that's why John was saying he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I mean, how much plainer can you get? He came unto his own received him not. And he goes on to say, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, not the ones that were born of the will of the flesh or of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So this is the word. That's why, go back to the beginning. St. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it can't get any plainer than that, but people want to limit God, and I marvel that so too many times people have no problem believing that, oh, this person has the Holy Spirit, this person has the Holy Spirit. A lot of people have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can't be one in their mind. So that's I marvel at that. So we go on here when he's finishing up this prayer, and we're going to go into our lesson. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So, and then he inherited it, his name. You read in the book of Hebrews, the subject, the first verse, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, have in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the office of sonship. So this is what Jehovah is become our salvation. So he's in another dispensation. So he was in a dispensation when he was a great, fearful God. He didn't have a name. He didn't reveal it. And so that's why Moses says, whom shall I say, sent me. He said, tell them I am. So that somebody said, I am that I am. I'll be what I'll be, where I will be. So they, when they translated it, they just translated, I am that I am. Because he can be whatever he wants to be, never cease to be who he is, just to make it plain. So today's lesson, Only Believe, Part 11. So we're going to betrayal and the arrest of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. So whom seek ye? I am he. So we're going to go on here. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, which was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Don't that sound familiar? lanterns, torches and weapons. The lanterns and torches sound like what we saw on TV in Charlottesville some weeks ago. And weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth, said unto them, whom seek ye? Now notice what I just read. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. So that's right what we're talking about today. Whom seek ye? I am he. So he's identifying himself. He knew all things that were going to take place. Also Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, this is John's gospel. So, like I said, you have four gospel writers giving their account. So he's writing things that other people didn't really take note of. They fell to the ground. You imagine? Because they were coming to get the Master, but all things had to be fulfilled. And then asked he them again, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. His right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So it's funny. Somebody was making mention of Peter cutting his ear off, and so someone brought out a good point. They said in reality, Peter was trying to cut his head off. He just missed and cut his ear off. So it makes sense. So anyway, he didn't tell him to throw the sword away. They didn't have guns back then. He told him to put his sword into his sheath. And so in other words, what's written of me is going to be. So the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So in other words, it's a question. So the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first. He was father-in-law of Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now, Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. And I believe this is St. John, the Apostle John, talking about himself as he writes here in this letter. And Peter stood at the door without then went out that the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art thou not also one of the man's disciples? He said, I am not. So remember now, he had to deny him because that's what the Lord said, and he can't lie. So then he said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Then the high priest asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine, and that's his teaching. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answer thou the high priest so? Then answered Jesus, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? And Annas sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied and said, I am not. So this is two times now. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment. It was early, and they hid themselves, and they themselves went in, not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So again, I just want to say, should you desire to call in, you can call in. Our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285, should you desire to call in. So he's saying, therefore, Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered unto thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So the scripture had to be fulfilled. So it was in their hearts not to release him. So thank God they didn't release him. So a lot of people don't understand that during the what they call Passover, they call it Palm Sunday. They were saying, you know, the king of the Jews, and when he was coming in, they were praising him. Then not too long after that, they're saying, crucify him. But thank God they said, crucify him. Because if he had not been crucified, then we wouldn't have the salvation of God. We wouldn't have remission of sins. Because without shedding of blood is no remission. So it's a new and a living way. Like I said, the Hebrew writer said, once in the end of the world. So we know he gives it all. What they had to go through year by year. They did all of those offerings, and the hearers couldn't be continue to be clean as pertaining to the conscience. But this man, he shed his blood. He appeared once in the end of the world in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he offered himself once. So it doesn't have to be done anymore. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So we're continuing on here because we're talking about the betrayal and the arrest of the master. So we're going on here. Then Pilate, in the 19th chapter, therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. So they, you know, call themselves making them a sham prophet out of him or a make-believe king. They mocked him is what they did. So we can see here, they planted a crown of thorns. That's a mockery. And put it on his head. You know, they plaited it. They made it. And put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. They smote him with their hands. So why would you do that? You're going to make somebody a king, and then you're going to smite him and slap him around. So that's how the devil is, to try to insult you and belittle you and you know, just make a mockery out of you. So that's exactly what he did. But everybody who did that, they're going to have to give an account of it in the day of judgment. So they didn't, you know, that's another prayer that he prayed. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, you know, they blindfolded him, all of the things that they've done, and asked, who is it that smote you? Well, he knows exactly who it is. He's going to have to give account. So going on here, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. So this, the honesty of this man, the power that he had, the heart, look at his heart. But all things had to be fulfilled. It matters not. So it had to be fulfilled. But you can see he had an honest heart, unlike somebody that's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in this year, 2017, of our Lord. I mean, I've never seen a human being won't ask for forgiveness, won't admit that he made a mistake. I mean, just, you cannot live like that. That is not the way that God designed for man to live. Just always with that childlike attitude, actually toddler mentality. Because what they do, they'll blame stuff, everything on everybody else. They never take responsibility. So that's what you call immaturity. When you can't take responsibility, you're immature. So that's what some of our children say, my adult sons and others that I know, they'll say, that's retarded. And it is. It's like he's retarded. So with that kind of attitude, because you got to be honest. So you, that is displayed here. And this man, Pilate, he's saying, I don't find no fault in him. So he could not let him go because it had to be, the scriptures had to be fulfilled. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe. Pilate said unto them, behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. What did Pilate do? Just like I just said, Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him. So, in other words, you got to go ahead and go through with it. For I find no fault in him. So you got to pay very close attention to repetition. And so I'm looking at this man's attitude, the man Pilate. I'm looking at the man Pilate's heart. He is adamant in what he is saying, and that is, I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. So notice that. So too many people, they don't understand that. The Son of God. That's what John wrote. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. That particular scripture, he didn't say the Son. He said Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. What is he saying? Jehovah has come in the flesh. What is he saying? God himself is come in the flesh. What is he saying? Emmanuel is come in the flesh. The Spirit of God is come in the flesh. Understand, like we said on before, a spirit is invisible. You can't see him. He had to make himself known. So Pilate therefore heard that saying. He was the more afraid. So I go back and look at that again. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. That is a true statement. He made himself a Son of God. He ain't got to die because of your law. So, I mean, what are they talking about? So, he, even like they said, when you read the St. John's Gospel, he's talking about a divine God. So, they even said that he making himself equal with God. Well, he is. St. John, I believe, 10 and 30, I and my Father are one. And now, incidentally, that comes to mind, like on last week I made mention, it's one about the without shedding of blood is no remission. So it actually was Hebrews 9 and 22, because I think 9 and 27 says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this to judgment. So, but it is, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So that's what I was making reference two on last week, Hebrews 9 and 22. So you got to shed blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. So that's why you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's why Peter said, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And then also in St. Luke 24 and 44, he said, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So scripture will support scripture. So that's why Peter said, you believe in him. So in other words, that ETH, you shall receive remission of sins. Why is that? Because you're going to do what he said. You're going to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive forgiveness, remission of sins. So he goes on to hear, and he went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. From thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. So look at this. Look at this, what Pilate is doing. So that's what God is looking at. I mean, the scriptures had to be fulfilled. But I'm just looking at, I never really just took note of this myself, the heart of this man. So that's what God. So in other words, admit you are wrong. He's admitting that the man Christ Jesus is not worthy of death. He's admitting that he's not guilty. Barabbas was a robber. He has done nothing, as one writer said, amiss. So he's done no wrong. He's done no guile. He didn't do anything wrong. And so you got to have a heart like that. And so, if thou had let this man go, art thou not from hence? And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, Now this is the Jews. If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. See, the devil is a dog. He will double cross you and play mind games with you because he knows that he has but a short time. The lake of fire is going to be his eternal damnation. So the beast and the false prophet is going to beat him there. But that's where he's going to end up, and he hates us. So that's why Paul told one man one time in the book of Acts, he was saying, You child of the devil, how long will you not cease to pervert the right ways of God, is what he was saying. So he called the man a child of the devil. So the devil has children. You don't hear people talking about that today, but John says it. But about the children of God and the children of the devil. The devil has children. And so people don't want to deal with that. So you have wicked, evil people in the world. They are influenced by the devil. They're children of the devil. And so the chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. So this is Pilate, he delivered him. And they took Jesus and led him away. And we know our time is almost gone. So again, I say, should you desire to call in, you have a question or a comment, 929-477-2285. 929-477-2285. So bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. When they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and this writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The title then read, Many of the Jews. For the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the king of the Jews, but what he said, I am king of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. See, this is in the 22nd chapter of Psalms, which is called, we call it the crucifixion psalm. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And that is said to be John, the one who's writing that we're reading. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now, therefore, there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first, of the other, which was crucified with him. But they, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side. Forthwith came blood, thereout blood and water. And he said, he that saw it bear record, his record is true, and he knoweth that is, he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him should not be broken. And again, another scripture said, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. So that's Zechariah 12 and 10, the latter clause. So we're going on here after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and 100 pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus, wandered in linen clothes with the spices of the manner of the Jews, is to bury. And now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So we thank God for the word that we are able to bring you this week, and we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. And like I've said, my ongoing question that I beseech you, I beg of you that are listening to this broadcast, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? A lot of people saying they are believers, but have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We'll see you on next time. God bless you.